You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I want to extend warm thanks and appreciation for the fantastic hospitality here at the Advent over the last 2 days. And Dean, thank you today for our time spent together. I will be trying the tomato aspic lunch today. It'll be my very, very first time. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So thank you so much. I had a great time last night at dinner with several of you. And again, very, very grateful for my time here with you all these last couple of days. As I was beginning to frame this particular subject today, we are reflecting on the lectionary reading in Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4 and 26 to 29. I was trying to think about a way to frame the idea that God's power is unstoppable, and I was trying to create some sort of example of something that is unstoppable that we may all experience. And the only thing that came to mind was pollen that I remember having grown up in Atlanta and have re-experiencing here. It is unstoppable. and it is indeed everywhere. And this idea that God is unstoppable, that God's power is unstoppable, that God's covenant faithfulness is unstoppable, is deeply embedded in the reading for today. Hear these words from Psalm 89. Let's read a couple of sections from it, as the lectionary invites us to do. Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4, and also verses 26 to 29. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And jumping down to verse 26, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn and the highest of kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. What is so immensely beautiful about the lectionary reading for this day? I'll focus mainly on those first four verses for our time together, is God's faithfulness. God's covenantal faithfulness that is shown through the promise made to David. This covenantal faithfulness, this promise, is something that is to be told to all generations. It is something that we are to sing about, as it represents the steadfast love of God. The psalmist here knows this everlasting love. He can look back into the history, not only of David's life, but the life of God's people, and see God's covenant faithfulness, his unending love for his people, that berit where he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. That covenant faithfulness that is historical from Moses to David, it is seen again and again and again. And it is because of that covenantal faithfulness that the psalmist says, I will sing forever. And what was that faithfulness? If you look back and remember the The Exodus itself, the most significant act of divine deliverance in the Old Testament, God chose Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and 10 plagues came, culminating in the Passover. It demonstrated God's power over the Egyptian gods and his love for his people. They then crossed the Red Sea. As you remember, God miraculously parted the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to escape the pursuing Egyptian army. When the Egyptians tried to follow, the waters returned and drowned them, showcasing God's protective love and deliverance for his people. His covenant faithfulness was shown again at the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. After leaving Egypt, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments through the ministry of Moses, and this was the covenant love and law and guidance in terms of having a framework for their response to the mercy and grace of God. He provided for them for 40 years in the wandering aspects of the wilderness. God provided the Israelites with what they need. He provided them manna from heaven. He provided them food and water. During the period of judges, after Joshua's death, Israel was governed by a series of judges, and he took care of God's people during these cycles of apostasy and oppression and crying out for deliverance. And figures such as Deborah and Gideon and Samson were all used by God to deliver Israel from its oppressors, demonstrating his patience and his willingness to rescue his people despite their obedience, because God is faithful to his covenant promises. In verse 2, it says that his steadfast love will be built forever in the heavens, and that God himself will establish this faithfulness. Now, one way to think about this covenant loyalty is that God himself is going to maintain and build the love, not just for his people, but in his people, for him to be returned to him. And this is not just an interesting story. This is the history of God's people. This is the history of God's covenant faithfulness. And this is what we are to tell to all generations. I mean, these are not simply just cute Bible stories. That because of our union with Christ, these are our stories. And these are not simply cute stories, and we dress up kids for Bible clubs and we clap and we say, oh, don't they look cute, and they're reciting their parts. No, these are serious stories that is the very ground of singing forever about the Lord's faithfulness. The analogy here is to remind ourselves of the heavens itself. That just as God is committed to his creation, as we see the sun rise and fall every day, we are to be reminded that just as he has established and committed himself to the creation, he has also done that for his people. The creation itself is a reminder. God's maintaining gravity is a reminder of his steadfast and sustaining faithfulness to his people. And so God also makes this covenant with David. We see this in verse 3, that you have said, says the psalmist, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. And this is not simply a reference to one of the heroes of redemption, but this particular covenant with David is irreversible. It is unilateral, that David was chosen to be the one through whom the unfolding applications of all of the covenant promises made to Noah and to Abraham and to Moses and to the priestly covenant in Numbers, and the covenant that God made with David himself, it is through David's progeny that his covenant faithfulness would be made manifest to have David mentioned is extraordinary. This is what the covenant says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. The Lord declares that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are filled and when you lie down with your fathers, I will praise your offspring after you. You shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He who commits iniquity, I will discipline him, and with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men, but with my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And David has been specifically and uniquely chosen for the administration of God's covenant faithfulness to the descendants, that God will do the establishing forever, through all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. God is the God of promise faithfulness, and one of the reasons that David is so central to this is because the prophecies make this case, that from this rod of Jesse, from this great descendant of David, the world would be redeemed. And so in Matthew, in the genealogy, in Matthew chapter 1, David is mentioned five times. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it says in Matthew 1, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. And then it says, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant promises that were promised through David. Jesus' life and death and resurrection is the historic movement of the accomplishment of God's covenant faithfulness to David. He was the son of David. So in Matthew, in multiple parts, there were people who were calling to Jesus and referring to him as the son of David. Matthew 9, 27, and Jesus passed on from there, and two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Matthew 15, 22, and behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter was severely oppressed by a demon." In Mark 10, verses 46 to 48, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on us." It is through the work and person of the Son of David that we find ourselves celebrating the culmination of Lent, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the apex of God's covenant faithfulness through David. And what we've seen over and over and over again in the history of redemption, in light of God's covenant faithfulness, that you cannot stop God. That God is so committed to fulfilling what he plans to do in and through his people, because he has promised to do those things to David and his offspring and his throne forever and ever and ever. Amen. That every attempt in the history of the world to stop God from fulfilling his promises has always failed. Pharaoh tried it and failed. Sihon tried it and failed. The king of the Amorites tried it and failed. Og of Bashan tried it and failed. The Canaanite kings tried it and failed. The Amorite kings tried and failed. The Philistines failed. The Amorites failed. The Moabites failed. Further along in the history of redemption, the Sanhedrin failed. The high priest Caiaphas failed. Herod Antipas failed. The devil has failed. Because God is the God of covenant faithfulness, and he will establish his offspring, this chosen one, on the throne to reign for all generations. Forever and ever and ever. And when it says forever, when it says for all generations, that is where we sit today. We are heirs of this forever. We are heirs of the promise of this kingly throne in control of all things forever. We sit here right now today. So it makes me wonder, why are Christians so stressed? What are we so worried about? Because the exact same attempt to destroy God's covenant faithfulness has always failed, and it will fail now. I mean, Christians are walking around like, the culture's, all those people, they're destroying what we value and all these things. What are we going to do? What? You cannot stop God's covenant faithfulness. Every attempt at undermining what God intends to do has failed, and it always will. There is no ruler on this earth that can stop God's covenant faithfulness. There is no political ideology. There is no worldview. There is no theory. There is no movement. There is no hashtag that can stop God's faithfulness. So what are we worried about? God has never failed to be faithful to his people. He has never failed to be faithful to his purposes, and Christians ought to be the least stressed people. You see, as bad as it may look today, as bad as things may seem today, God's covenant faithfulness will never fail. And so although our bodies might fail, and although our lives may not make sense right now, and although our futures may be unclear, and although it may seem that things are falling apart, my brothers and my sisters, if you are united to the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, who is the heir of this throne of David, who rules over all things, you are going to be fine. And if you need proof of this, proof of God's covenant faithfulness, just look to the empty tomb of the resurrected Christ. And so, like the psalmist, because of this empty tomb, we too can make this confession, that I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations, because the God who has always been faithful to his covenant promises will also be faithful to you and your children and your children's 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 forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.